and a song stuck in your head? Is that, yeah, ever happens to you? You're listening on the radio, and if you sit on the same station, they play that the newest, hippest song, you know, 15 times in 2 hours, and it just gets stuck in your head, and you can't get rid of it. And sometimes you get a really bad song stuck in your head. Maybe it's annoying, or, you know, you probably shouldn't be thinking about it as much as you are, and you need to listen to a new song to replace the old one. The big question that I have for you this morning is, what song will you sing? What song will you sing? And the songs that we sing really depend on our perspective. And one of the great things about reading the Psalms for ourselves as we're going through here at the church, the series of the Psalms, is that it shows us that people in the Bible had the same struggles as us. They were real people. They went through similar experiences. Our Bible heroes, such as David, who wrote many of the Psalms, they were as sinful as we are, probably even more so sometimes. And the Psalms in particular show us the life cycles of humanity. They show us the range of human emotions. They show the joy and despair, the mountaintop experiences and the desert valleys. We're happy with God one moment and we're furious with Him the next. The Psalms are so honest about our relationship with God. It's not all, God bless you and hunky-dory, is it? No, it's not. It's really all a matter of perspective. And what do we do when we've lost sight of our perspective? This is the question that Psalm 40 engages with. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 40. And the inscription tells us that this psalm is, of course, a song, and it's for the director of music, which means that the whole choir is going to learn it, and that means it's going to be sung to the people quite a bit. And it's a psalm of David, and in this case, we know that this particular psalm was actually written by David as well because of the context of the previous chapters. So I'm going to read the psalm, and then we're going to pray. Psalm chapter 40, just verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Abba, Father, I lay down my agenda and say, have your way in me this morning. I surrender my words and thoughts and ask to be invaded with your words and thoughts. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so I ask that your Spirit would quicken our hearts and open our ears. Give us the clarity to hear your word, the understanding to know your word, and the courage to obey your word. For your glory and for your name's sake. And everyone said, amen. So again, the question is, what song will you sing? And verse 2 informs us that David, of David's location, it says that he is in a pit. Imagine, picture a deep, dark well. How does David describe the pit? He says, the NIV says it's a slimy pit. Other translations says it's a horrible pit. If it's a horrible pit, it's terrifying to look at when you're from the outside of it. Never mind when you're stuck and trapped on the inside. It's a slimy, muddy, sticky pit. It's as if David has fallen into a deep, dark well and he can't get out. I imagine him trying to escape, trying to jump up and climb out and slipping and falling time and time again. And that David uses this pit as a metaphor for perspective and our struggles and trials in life. What were David's circumstances at this time for him to say he was in the pit. In part, it was maybe due to his own sin, as described in verse 12. Maybe in part, it was fearing his life being pursued by his enemies, as described in verses 14 and 15. It's never just one thing, though, isn't it? I mean, when life piles on their pressures, right? It's just one thing after another, and we feel weighed down. And soon life is too hard for us, and we find ourselves in the pit. It's also an image that represents how we feel when we've lost perspective, right? We talk about being in the pit of despair, or, oh, she's in the pits, right? How might have David felt in this pit? Probably exactly how you and I feel when we're in the pit. He's probably angry, isolated, afraid, helpless, hopeless, depressed. We all get there, don't we? We all experience that. That's part of being human. And often when we've lost our perspective in the pit, we feel like God is distant. Maybe even we think that God has abandoned us, and we believe that God doesn't care about us anymore. And so David's not just describing a trial, he's also describing his perspective on that trial. And when we're in the pit, we often sing a song. It's the song of the pit. Right? You know it very well. It's a song we're comfortable with. It's a song we sing to comfort ourselves when we feel like nobody cares about me. It's the song of the pit which really emphasizes our perspective in the pit. And we all know the words of the song. You know it with me. Nobody knows the trouble I've been seeing. Nobody knows my sorrow. Right? Nobody knows. It's a song of pity, isn't it? It's a song of self-pity. It's about me, myself, and I. And we sing that song, and it gets stuck in our heads. It gets lodged in our hearts, and we can't shake it out, can we? When we're in the pit, we sing that song. But the question still remains, we have a choice. What song will you sing? And what does David do when he's in the pit? Look at verse 1. He said, I waited for the Lord. He waits for the Lord. We all know there's two kinds of waiting, isn't there? There's the passive, anxious waiting, like when you're waiting in the doctor's office to hear results. Anxious, and it's kind of passive. You're just hoping the thing just, time just flies by, and you're stirring, and you're not focused, you're not concentrated. But then there's the active, patient waiting, like sitting on a grassy knoll and waiting for the sun to rise. There's that still expectation and that hope of something beautiful. How does David wait? He waits in the pit patiently, the text tells us. I waited patiently for the Lord. Notice he wasn't waiting for his circumstances to change. Notice he wasn't waiting for people to change. Lord knows that we tend to do that, don't we? Well, when this person gets their act together, then I'll be kind to them. When this person, you know, treats me well, then I'll change my tune. No, he didn't do that, did he? He waited for God to show up. David's waiting wasn't passive, and it wasn't silent either. It was active and loud. Look at verse 2. He says, I cried out to the Lord. He heard my cry. David's in the pit. He's feeling in the pit of despair, and yet he's crying out to God because he recognizes that God is his only help. He petitioned to the Lord, and look at what God's response was. He turned to me. God inclined to me. God positioned himself to David for David to receive the help. You know, when I take my kids to the park and they are running around like banshees and you know, and I almost can't even see where they go. And I call out for my daughter, Aviva! How do I know when she's heard me? She stops and she turns and she looks at me. She stops, she turns and she looks at me. That's how David knew that God heard his cry, because God turned to him. He inclined to him. And notice where David was crying out to. He was calling out to God. He heard my cry. He was calling out in that pit. And I have a question for you this morning. Where are you calling? To whom are you calling? Often we take our complaints to everybody else except God, don't we? But we tell everyone our song. We sing on the song of the pit to everybody because we want them to hear it. We want them to hear the words. But we don't cry to the only one who could save us. Direct your complaints, your fears, your waiting to God. Cry out to him. What's your pit this morning? What is the pit you find yourself in? That perspective that you've been have skewed in your life. Call out, cry out to God. He's not afraid of your cries because he's the only one who can save you. So we see David in the pit. We see that he calls out to God. He cries out to him. And notice how David gets out of the pit. It's almost like something, we miss something, but look at verse 2. He says, he called out to God. He heard my cry. He set my feet upon a rock. He lifted me out, set my feet upon a rock, and gave me a firm place to stand. How did David find perspective in this slimy, sticky, can't get out of pit when there's nothing to hold on to and nothing to stand on? There is one way out of that pit, isn't there? It's up. There's only one way to look, and it's up. And David gets his help from above, from outside of the pit, because he knew he couldn't get out on his own. David needed someone stronger than him to pull himself out. He lifted me out of the pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Notice who does all the heavy lifting in this passage. It's not David, is it? Yeah, I got out of that really tough situation by myself. You could thank me later. No, he says it was God. God's the one who turned. God's the one who heard. God is the one who lifted David. God is the one who set David down. God gave David a change of perspective. David went from standing on slippery mud to standing on solid rock. And perspective is all a matter of where you're standing, isn't it? And what's the rock that David's standing on? It's God's word, his faithfulness, his character. And we see that our rock is Christ, isn't it? Christ, our solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's a slimy pit. Perspective all depends on where you're standing. Heard the story of a young couple. They rented a cottage. They were vacationing and for a week. And one afternoon, the husband, he was standing in the living room, and he looked out of the window of the cottage, and he saw the backyard swimming pool. And he, you know, calls out to his wife. He says, "Hey, let's get changed and let's go out and get some exercise." And his wife was standing in the kitchen. She looks out of the window there, and she sees some people playing tennis right next to the swimming pool. And so she says, "Yeah, let's do it. Meet you in 5 minutes." So they both get changed. They meet outside of the house. She's dressed for a tennis match, and he's ready for swimming. Perspective is all a matter of where you're standing. And David went from a slimy pit to a solid rock because he had a new perspective. So where are you standing this morning? Are you standing on empty hopes? Are you standing on your own abilities to pull you out of whatever mess, whatever hard situation you're in right now, if you're standing in yourself, you're still standing in a muddy, slimy pit. But if you're standing on the rock, then you have a new perspective, don't you? God is saying to you, how are you viewing him this morning? Because your view of God will shape your perspective. If you think God's abandoned you, guess where you're standing. If you think God does not care about your situation, guess where you're standing. You're standing in mud, friends. But if you believe, even though your circumstances don't show you yet and don't prove it yet, that God is a God of faithfulness, that God is a God of love, that God is a God who keeps his promises, that God is a strong God, then you'll be standing on rock even though everything around you tells you you're in a pit. And when you're standing on the rock, your view of God changes and your perspective changes. So where are you standing and to whom are you calling? So what's the result of David now having a new perspective, a new solid perspective outside of all the mess? He says in verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. It's interesting. God lifts David out of the pit. He sets his feet on a rock. And now he puts a song in his mouth. God gives David a new song. Well, if there's the new song, we know what the old song was. It was the song of the pit. But listen to how the song of the pit contrasts into the song of praise. The song of the praise, it's a hymn with new lyrics. It's a hymn with a new audience. The song of the pit was a dirge. The song of praise is a hymn. The song of pit was about despair. The song of praise is a song of joy and praise. The song of the pit is sung to ourselves, and the song of praise is sung to God. The song of the pit was a song of self-serving, and the song of praise encourages others, gives them hope, and points to God. It's interesting that as a result of David's new perspective, it's used for proclamation. This is actually a messianic psalm, and I don't have time to go into it, but it actually says Jesus' name. Anyone who tells you Jesus is not in the Bible or in the Hebrew scriptures is wrong, because his name is Yeshua, which means salvation. And later on in this psalm, it says, I will declare your Yeshua. I will declare your salvation. David's song of praise is not about himself. It's about others hearing about the God who can lift you out of the pit. As a result of David's new song, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Now, I read that and I thought, that's kind of weird. Why would David talk about many people seeing when he's just described a song that he's singing? And it occurred to me, what is people seeing have to do with David singing? And I think we all know instinctively that the song you are singing, you know the song you are singing by how you are living, right? You know how you're living by the song you're singing. You listen to a coworker at work, and they're all in the pit of despair, and, you know, no one cares about me. I put in my reports on time, but I never get a raise. You know, they're in the pit, and you hear it, and then you see it in their life, don't you? And you act out the song that you're singing. It's just by nature how songs work. If you sing the happy song, you can't help but be happy. And so, the tune you are singing will show what life you are living. The tune you're singing, the song you're singing, will show what life you're living. David saw something new. He had a new perspective. And his song was going to declare that. His song was going to match that. So, I guess the question could be, not only what song are you singing, but what life are you living? What determines the tune we sing? What determines, what influences the song that we sing? It's either going to be the song of the pit, or it's going to be the song of praise. But you're going to be singing one song or another. And we all have a choice. See, the fallacy comes in when you say, I don't have a choice. Look what's happening to me. David could have said that. His enemies were pursuing him. If you read 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, and Saul is continually trying to cut him down again and again and again. I've never experienced having to look over my shoulder, wonder if I'm going to be alive in the next moment. But can you imagine the anxiety that would have placed on him? I couldn't imagine the pressures that David felt. He had good reason to sing the song of the pit. He had good reason to be in despair. But yet he cried out to God. God set him on a rock. He gave him a new perspective. He gave him a new song to sing. Friends, you always have a choice of what song you will sing. You always have a choice of what song you'll sing. Because nobody is doing anything to you. We always have a choice of how we respond to the pit, how we respond to the trials of life, how we respond when life seems to be unfair and God seems to be absent. We always have a choice. You know what Lamentations are? The book of Lamentations? It's praise in the midst of despair. Friend, the greatest form of praise that you can give is a lamentation. We sang it this morning. Blessed be your name. When what? With the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. That's a song of lament. It's a song in the midst of the trial. And that's the choice that you have this morning. Whatever circumstance you're in, whatever the pit is for you this morning, God's asking, will you sing the song of praise? Will you sing the song of praise? He wants to give you a new perspective. He wants to take your feet from that slimy mud, and he wants to set your feet on him, the solid rock. And he's asking you, child, friend, beloved, what song will you choose to sing? How will you live your life? How will you sing your song? What determines the song that we sing, whether it's the song of the pit or the song of praise, it's the key in this verse, which is the word trust. Verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Trust. What a small word, yet what enormous implications in our life. David's saying, blessed is the man who leans heavily. Blessed is the man who falls back on. Blessed is the man who puts his whole weight on the Lord. Not his whole weight on himself. Not his whole weight on others, but on the Lord. Ultimately, the new song is a song of trust in the only God who can save. David's trust in God will cause others to trust in God. You ever notice, you know, maybe at a church service or a small group, and anyone have a word of encouragement, and someone just says, you know what I did? I was just... we were depressed. We were not knowing where we're going to get our next paycheck from. And then God provided from out of the blue. Do you notice that when you hear someone else, when their story of encouragement, it has this sort of ripple effect? Do you notice that? When you hear someone else describe God's provision for your life, there's something that happens in us that says, yeah, God's provider. When you hear someone who God healed them, you say, yeah, God's a healer. When you hear someone describe and tell their story of how God radically changed them, You say, yeah, God's a powerful God. And we tend to trust in God more. We tend to rely on Him more when we hear the song of others. This is the beauty of community. This is part of your mission, right? To worship as a community. And this is the importance of community, because you all have a song to sing, and you need to sing it to each other. We can have a few other amens. Amen? You all have a song of praise to sing, but you know what the devil wants to do? He just wants to keep your song to yourself. Don't sing it, anyone. No one likes your voice anyway. Come on. But you know what? God wants you to sing your song to each other. You need to come in on Sunday morning and be sharing what God has done in your life. Because these three verses are actually David reflecting on the past. The rest of the psalm is David in the present. This is David's past recalling what God did for him. He gave me a new song to sing. He gave me a new perspective to have. And we need to sing our songs to each other, because then many will see our lives and many will put their trust in the Lord. And the beautiful thing about this is that this psalm, the song, with the choice between the song of the pit and the song of praise, it ultimately echoes a greater song, the gospel song. It takes us from the pit of sin to the rock of our salvation, Yeshua, Jesus. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was, but now I'm, was blind, but now I. We need to sing the song of praise when we're in the pit. You need to sing the song of praise to each other. So the question again this morning is, what song will you sing? What song will you sing? If you're trusting God to get you out of your mess, you'll sing the song of praise. If you're trusting yourself to get you out of your pit, you'll just sing the song of the pit. So who are you trusting this morning? Who are you trusting this morning to get out of the pit? What song will you sing? Let's pray. Father, in the moments of this quiet, I pray that we would be able to hear your still small voice. May we be able to have our perspectives properly shifted this morning. Lord, for those who are here this morning whose view of you needs a shift, I pray that you would do that now through the work of your Holy Spirit. You are good. You are loving. You are kind. You are gentle. Always trusting. Always faithful. Never giving up. Always loving. A good Father. Lord, bring our feet onto the rock of our salvation so that we could have a new song to sing. Oh, change our perspectives, Lord. We believe, but help our unbelief. And as we trust in you and sing a song of praise, a hymn of praise, may we remember that our greatest weapon against the enemy is a song of praise. Because many will see and fear and put their trust in you. Lord, help us to do that for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen.